is an interview for the Mill Workers Oral History Project. The date is February 28th, the year 2006. This is Andrea Lemieux. And today I'm interviewing Andre
Geisen
at his home on Davis Avenue in Auburn, Maine. Could you start just by telling me your full name?
It's Andre D. Geisen.
And where and when were you born?
I was born right here on Main Street in Auburn. We were born in a house. We were not born in a hospital then, you know.
Yeah.
It's a while back.
How many brothers and sisters did you have?
I had six brothers and two sisters. We were eight people in that family.
Yeah.
Yeah. Four of them are gone and four are still here. Yeah.
And what was your date of birth?
5/28/31.
And your parents, were they both from the Auburn area?
Yeah. My mother was born on Lincoln Street. My father was born in New Hampshire. And they both were, my father worked in a mill and Continental Mill, and I worked in the Bates Mill when I was old enough.
And your father, what did he do at the Continental Mill?
You know that I don't know. Yeah. All I know, he worked there every night to go to work, you know, to a shift like I was. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what were your parents' names?
My father was Edward Geisen, and my mother was Lizanne LeBron until she became Geisen. Yeah.
So, where did you fall within your brothers and sisters, in the younger end or the older?
I'm the second to the youngest one. I'm almost the end of the whole bunch. Yeah. We were brought up in the country, no water, no electricity. I wish life would go back that way for teach the young one what we went through. Ain't it true? They give. Everything right now, it's all handed to you, you know. They don't go out and get their water, they don't do this, they don't do that, you know. Well, that's life.
Yeah. So you've seen the Lewis and Auburn community change a lot?
Oh, yeah, very much so. Before, people live on Lincoln Street right here, you know, in Auburn. It was a place where you always walked to work, and you had buses every 15 minutes to go to work, you know. The buses ran till 12 o'clock. So people didn't have to take their car and nothing like that to go to work. Everything was all, you know, nice and easy, you know.
And so tell me about starting at the mill.
How old
were you?
Started in the mill, I was 16 years old, and my mother got me out of school to go work in the mill at 16 years old. So I was there till when I was 17 and a half. Then they passed the law that you could not be in there till you were 18 years old. Mm-hmm. So we got laid off for 6 months, and they kept over the girls in there, and I let go of the men, and that was discrimination back then. But I don't care, anyway.
Yeah.
But then we went back, and then decided to learn to weave, and weaving number one and two weaving room. First, I was a number five, and stopped the loom for when they used to stop to learn, and got the room. Battery end girl didn't like that because it kept the machine going. They had to keep on working more and more, you know, because if the machine stopped, the bobbin don't get empty. But if the machine ran full blast, they had to keep on working. But we helped them out too, you know. We were good people. You know? We helped the little girls out.
And so what did a weaver do?
They make bedspread, bed sheets, and every time a machine stopped, you got to check to see why it stopped, and you got to retry that, tie that back up the thread and fasten and start it up again. And you're paid for how many yards of material you make a night. And so you got to keep the machine going. Otherwise, you don't get paid.
Yeah.
You lose money. You got to keep them going all the time.
So were the loom fixers somebody that you counted on a lot?
Oh, yeah. If a machine broke down, you had to go see, write it down on the board. He'd come over, fix it up for you, you know, keep on going, you know. They were paid by the hour. We were paid by piecework. And, of course, when you had a raise, well, we had an extra loom to run, and they had a raise. That's the way it goes.
Do you recall there being strikes at the mill while you were there?
Yeah, I was on that big strike they had there. And they had the guard, National Guard outside, so nobody would get in or nothing. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, And everybody was mad, you know, because a lot of people then, you know, you had you had the Bates Mill, and you had the Hill Mill, and you had the Andrew Scargan. These are all part of the Bates Mill, the whole Canal Street. And then you had a, you had your Cotton Atoll and down the hill, and you had the Libby Mill that burned down. Mm. Yeah, you had a lot of mills. Yeah.
What was the strike about?
I don't know. I think we wanted more money or something like that. You know, and so I guess that's what it was all about. You know.
Was that fairly early in your years at Bates, or?
I would say it was before 10 years that I was there. You know, mm-hmm. You know,
yeah. So maybe the early to mid 50s.
Yeah, I think so. Over here it says 49. It could have been. Let's say it was 56, 57, something like that. You know, yeah. And I didn't give you much of a raise, you know. But it was a job. It was a comfortable job. It was something you felt proud of doing. You didn't mind going to work, you know. That was life then, you know. It was nice, you know. And a lot of people wouldn't work there in those places anymore. Mm-hmm. There isn't anymore anyway, you know.
What were the working conditions like in terms of the weave room? Was it a clean or dusty?
Oh no, very, very dusty, very dusty. I was surprised one morning, the sun is shining and we had these flaps for hair to come in, and you could see all the dust all the way across. I never realized it was that dusty, you know. But I was lucky, it didn't bother me, you know. Because I didn't smoke either, so that probably helped too, you know. But very noisy though, but you get used to that, you know. And we didn't, then they decided we had to wear earplugs. So they didn't have earplugs, so they put cotton in our ears. And that went down with me. I had to go have that taken out because then they came up with these special earplugs and we wear that. You know. Yeah, that's what we had to do. But it was a nice job, you know. Everybody had their job. My job was to weave, keep the machine going, and we had a man that would clean the floor, and we had another one that would just clean the loom, made a lot of dust, you know. And, and then we were still there when they blocked out the windows, and that helped. And that helped to make the place warmer, you know. It made a big difference. Until they blocked out the window, it was cold. I think they did that in April, you know. It was cold, still cold, you know. But the men were good who blocked out those windows, you know.
Was the work dangerous in terms of injuries?
In a way, yes. Because when I went back, I stopped after 14 years, and I went back in 72. Then the mill had gone down, way down, so I went and did hand sewing. I did that for 10 years, and then hand sewing went out. So I went back to the Bates Mill, which I knew what to do anyway, so they rehired me and went on third shift. And then I worked 7 days a week. Started at 7 at night and 7 in the morning. And just sit there, watch them running. I had no problem with weaving. I liked it, you know. I liked it. I made a lot of weaving hood for people and cases to put the scissors in, you know. And but if you were not careful, you stopped the machine a certain way, the shadow, you know what a shadow is? They come out. And that would hit you or whatever, and then the shadow is gets steel thing at the end because it always pushes back and forth. And if that came out, it was kind of a little dangerous, you know. I got one on the side of the face one time, and got me a little dizzy. But you were more careful. You had to be careful, like anything else, you know. But like I say, it was a nice place to work, you know. We enjoyed it, you know. It was life, you know.
Before we started the interview, you mentioned a friend of yours that started when you did. Can you talk a little bit about him?
Yeah, Eyal Perro, yeah. And we became friends, you know, and I was a filling boy. A filling boy is the one that puts a bobbin in a box, and the girl takes it from the box and put it in the, they call that now, it's not a unifill, but it was another thing. And then when the machine would empty the bobbin, it would go in a big can. He'd pick up the can and put it in another big box, and he'd take it upstairs, and they'd take all the thread off, Then it was reused again. I could for all the time like that. But each he went in number five weave and he stayed there. And he was a good weaver, you know, the Mount of Washington, Queen Elizabeth, you know. And so then when I left, you know, when I was hand sewing, somebody was trying to tell him, oh, go hand sewing, you'll make more money. I told him, no, don't do that. I said, you stay where you are. I says, your piece work, you know, when your machines are running, it's not like hand sewing. Hand sewing, you won't make money that you're making. So he decided to stay there, you know. He was glad. He thanked me for it later on in the years, you know. I'm glad you told me that, you know. Because people talks to you and, oh, you could make more money, this and that, you know. They did that to me. One of the guys I was working, and oh, you'd make a lot more money in the Continental Mill, so. And I went and tried it, but I didn't tell nobody. I went and tried it for one night, and the machine was awful, so. Didn't go back, but they never knew. And then before that, I was laid off and told my mother, I said, don't take any letters, registered letters. I said, don't take any of those, don't sign for any of those. And I was in Connecticut working. They kept after me to try to get me back, you know. They've been hunting for me for 2 weeks until I came back. So I went back and then I kept all my seniority and everything. They couldn't reach me, there's nothing they could do. No. Mm-hmm. I was in Ashford, Connecticut. I was still young, I was about 19, 20 years old, you know. But I went with my two brothers and they didn't want to work, so I said, the heck with that. And I was supporting my mother. So supporting my mother until I was 28 years of age, you know, until I got married. So that was life. Mm-hmm. I mean, back then you helped your parents out, you know, you didn't take everything away from them, you helped them out, you know.
Yeah, with eight children, she must have stayed in the home.
Yeah, you know, she never went to work, no. She worked in the house, but yeah, bad enough.
I'm sure she was busy.
Yeah. She was a good cook, though. She cooked good, you know, and everything, you know. But, and 2 years before I got married, she decided to go get a job keeping for Mrs. Ullman, that used to own the Libby Mill, you know, and they gave her seniority and everything. But, hey, I wanted to get married like the rest of them, so I did.
Go ahead.
I got married and my boy was 4 years old. And I tell him, my boss, I've been here 14 years. He said, no, you haven't been here 14 years. I said, oh, yes, I've been here 14 years. And back then, you had a board and you had a board that was covered with glass, and it told you what year you came in, this and that. So you went and checked, and then he came back and apologized. Yeah, you've been here 14 years. Oh, I know.
Are there people who've passed away that you worked with that you could talk about what they were like? Maybe the...
Well, yeah, when the Hill Mill closed down, then a lot of them came to work in the Bates Mill. Mm-hmm. And then met a lot of nice people and a lot of good loom fixer there that I liked, you know. And they all gone, you know. They all passed away, yeah. Then we had this guy, I don't remember his name, he said to me, he said, I'll tell you what I'll do with you. He said, you accept my mistake. And I said, I'll accept yours. And he said, we'll get along good. So we did. He died young, though. Yeah. I don't know why, but...
Did you... I know the mill sponsored things like softball and baseball leagues.
Yeah, I never was in there. No, that was probably after I left, you know.
Yeah.
Because I left in 81, you know. Mm-hmm. And I went and worked in the shipyard for 16 years. And,
yeah. So not you weren't involved in the bowling league?
Or, No. That would have been nice to see, you know.
Yeah.
The man that ran off in the credit union, and I cleaned the credit union, and the man that owned the place, the man that's in charge, the president of the credit union, he was in the Bates Mill at the time. And this is when they started credit union in the Bates Mill, and we started saving our money in there, you know. And then when they closed, well, they opened branch here and there, you know, called the Rainbow Credit Union. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But they, I met his father. My brother worked in a mill too, for a long time too, until he went to Pioneer Plastic, you know. And But it was a job, you know. It was a job. We had a lot of shoe shop. We had a lot of meals, you know, and we didn't know any better, so we stayed in there.
Now, when you were growing up with such a big family, were most of your social activities centered around the family? What sort of things did you all do for fun?
Well, they were more or less older, and they got married as they went along, you know. Mm-hmm. But I helped them all out a lot, you know. I was there for everybody, just about, you know. But I'm still am in a way.
Do you remember? Do you have any memories of the Depression years?
No, that's way before me. So I was born in 1931, so right. That was the 1930s, 1929 and 1930s.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was bad. I was 2 years old when they had this big fire in Auburn. Yeah. You ever heard of that big fire in Auburn?
Well,
this is why it's called New Auburn and Old Auburn. The New Auburn started from Bonbrien hardware store there, and it burned the whole. They say it was so hot. We live in Lewiston then, and they say it was so hot that they had to water the building in Lewiston so that it wouldn't burn, you know. A great big fire. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That wasn't a 30, 32, 33, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the way it is. So they made it all the way through that again.
Yeah. Is there anything that I haven't asked you that you feel is important to add about your time at the mills?
No, I don't think so. So you interview a lot of people, eh?
Yes. Yeah. Thank you very much.
You are welcome.